Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome in, everybody, to another hour of Sports Daily. Brandon Zinner in for Tommy Caster. Max Power producing for us. A lot of fun today here on the show. We can continue the conversation we've been having about the news yesterday as it pertains to a potential move to the state of Kansas for the Kansas City Chiefs and by the Kansas City Royals. We're also going to get into the Kansas City Royals on the field here in this hour, something we haven't done, maybe intentionally, because it's just so frustrating. We have all of that, plus the rest of the headlines from around the sports world on tap for you. It's What's on Tap, brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company. WBC celebrating the 4th with $4 beers from July 2nd through July 6th at all three brew pubs. A great idea for entertaining out-of-town visitors. Wichita Brewing Company, $4 beers July 2nd through the 6th. So we'll have all that for you. We'll take your comments and calls. Your comments on our video streams can come via Facebook, YouTube, or X. Thanks to those also watching us on 12 News Connected. And you can leave us your voice messages through the Odyssey app. If you're podcasting the show, if you're not listening to us live, that's okay. You can still chime in and we can get to those comments another time. Or you can, if you're listening to us live, leave us a voicemail there and Max can put those out over the air. All right, let's also start this hour off with our final mention here of a big contest we've been doing all month long, and that is giving away a round of golf for two plus a cart to Crestview Country Club. All you have to do for your chance to win is text the keyword golf to the number 20357. The last winner, we've been picking winners every Friday this month. The last winner will be picked today. So this is your last opportunity to get in. Message and data rates apply. More details at kfhradio.com. Golf 20357. Brandon, I ran out and played nine yesterday.
And
course looks great. I was on the north side. Course looks great. I thought, and I didn't play the back nine, which is where a lot of the traffic is, but everything looked like it was in real good shape. So no problems there. As the Wichita Open has come through in just some really unique circumstances out at Crestview. So good luck to everybody in that contest and get out there and play it. All right, we make our way through this hour, Brandon. We can kind of put a button on our Chiefs-Royals conversation for the moment. We can always go back to that because I do think it's one that is very just interesting and important in the history of this state. But the back and forth on this has been really interesting. When you really step way back from it, though, it all makes perfect sense, right? This is all negotiating, bargaining. I don't think an extension, if you're a critic of this, I don't think an extension means the state of Kansas is offering more, which I know there, but some people already think they're offering too much. I just think it means the Chiefs are still really interested in the state of Kansas's offer, which hasn't changed for what, how long has this offer been out? About a year?
I think it was just a little bit over a year. I could have to go back and check, but I believe just a little over a year.
So the Star Bond offer is out there. It's likely going to get extended. It sounds like the appetite from the state is to only extend it through the end of this year and not for another full calendar year. The interesting thing is the Chiefs are the ones that are up against the clock to me. The deadline for Kansas is strictly a negotiating ploy to put some emphasis and take away Missouri's ability to come up with things. And I think it's smart, but the reality is it doesn't really matter for the state of Kansas, the timing. The timing element exists for the Chiefs and Royals, who have an expiring lease in 2031, I believe, is when the lease expires, and they have to have the time to build all these facilities. So the urgency is all on the side of the Chiefs and Royals here, and perhaps the state of Missouri. Kansas's offer is there. So just an extension of the timeline to get it done, to me, doesn't impact the state of Kansas really at all. Like, you're going to run out of time before we're going to run out of time. Like, it doesn't matter for the state of Kansas. The Chiefs are going to run out of time if they really want to come across, because they got to have time to build all this before their lease expires.
Yeah, it was, so it looks like it was last June. There's a special session called to have these star bonds put in effect. Again, 70% would be covered by these star bonds to help bring any stadiums and any facilities over from the state of Missouri for these Chiefs and these Royals. And as you said, the time is now. It's now in the Chiefs' hands because, I mean, this is going to be their lease expires. I believe it is in 2031 for both. Now, if for whatever reason they need to extend it, they can probably figure something out. That's not something that Jackson County wants to do because they want they don't want to be a temporary house for a team that is looking to leave. So this is going to be, we're talking from starting whenever this happens, it's going to be a three-year project at probably the minimum to get everything together. So, I mean, yeah, the time is of the essence for the Chiefs. I mean, they're looking at probably you're wanting to break ground within probably a year and a half to feel good. So there's going to be a lot of movement that we're going to see, especially as this year rolls on, which is, it's going to be make for an interesting season because you're going to have the NFL season rolling. You're going to have the president, Clark Hunt, as well, behind closed doors, also be talking about this. So a lot of focus is going to be put on a lot of different things for the Chiefs coming up. And then there's the Royals as well, but...
Yep. Look, by and large, this is the offers are on the table. With as long and as complicated as it's been for Missouri to get an offer on the table, I don't think they're going to be able to offer more. I don't think the state of Kansas needs to offer more. And so it becomes like, okay, you've got your offers. Now do your due diligence and make your pick, Chiefs. The Royals will fall in line on this. With whatever they are kind of stuck because they're not stuck if they just said, you know what, we're going to come to the state of Kansas, boom, it's done. But they're stuck in the sense that if the Chiefs stay in Missouri, they're going to run out of money for the Royals, I would think. And so we've long thought on this show that the possibility of the Royals coming over is pretty high. You brought up two different areas. My preference is to have all of this in one area. I think we capitalize on it more. Now, the counter to that would be you're getting twice the renovation and twice the potential to bring that star bond money back. My concern there, though, is it's easier to build it up and get use out of the same facilities that only cost you to build them one time, right? Like if you're pitching in money for a hotel and entertainment district, the star bonds are going to be a part of that. I would rather just build one of those and have them used it, you know,
The Royals and the Chiefs going back to when the vote was put to Jackson County have showed that they do not work well together. And they've made it clear during this entire time they don't want to work together.
The state would have a lot of involvement there. And John Sherman, by the way, John Sherman is new to this game.
Mm-hmm.
I think he can play just fine in the sandbox.
Yeah, it's just I know what you mean about wanting to have one local site, but the Royals are going to want to have something where they are. And the Chiefs are going to want to have something where they are. The Chiefs probably brings a sports book along with it, something similar to P&L. You're going to have bars, restaurants, hotels, and everything. The Kansas City Current in Kansas City, right by the river, they are currently doing something pretty similar to this right outside of their stadium with hotels and restaurants and a big renewed riverfront as well. It's likely going to be too different, but I can see why. From a building perspective and from a conservation perspective, why you'd want it all in one spot. But I think the Chiefs want to come over and say, we want to have our thing. The Royals are going to come over and say, we want to have our thing. I don't see how they work together to make that happen.
But the state of Kansas has to foot the bill.
Yeah.
70% of it. And so what they think matters too.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know logistically if there is an area that is conducive to both. But if you can get, And I would just use the Legends as an example. If you can get an area of this state that has a NASCAR track, a pro soccer stadium, pro baseball stadium, a pro football stadium, and you want to build massive hotels because you have so much use in that area, that to me makes far more sense. You can build, the Legends already has the outlet mall, but you can come up with things and try to create another power and light-ish area where it's being used basically 12 months out of the year. That's what, to me, makes the most sense to pay off star bonds. I could be wrong. Doing two areas could mean two different revenue streams, but I think that's asking a lot of the Kansas City Royals and their success and the interest level in the Kansas City Royals. I would much rather see them piggyback the Chiefs than try and branch off and do their own thing. Because we're counting on them being really good.
And it's about making the facility usable all times of the year and away from when just the Royals are playing. It's not going to be like there's going to be this entertainment district outside the Royals Stadium, and when the Royals aren't playing, there's nothing going on. Look what St. Louis has built with the Ballpark Village. That place is packed. If it's February, if it's December, that doesn't have to do anything with the Cardinals. Make the facility useful all the time.
Cardinals, outside of this year, have been a top 5 to 10 attendance team every year. And the Royals are that way if they're good, but not if they're not. Right now, let's let that be a seamless transition into the Royals on the field. Are they going to be good long term? Like, what is the window here? We'll get into that and what's happening right now when we return on Sports Daily.
The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
The Summer Concert Series back at the Capitol Federal Amphitheater in Andover. The series returns tonight with King Midas live on stage. Gates open at 6:30. Show starts at 8. Enjoy free live music, food trucks, Friday night fun all summer long. You can find the full schedule at kfhradio.com. Welcome back into Sports Daily. We've been talking a lot about stadiums and movement and everything. We know the Chiefs are going to draw a crowd. Will the Royals draw a crowd? Right now, playing at Kauffman Stadium, it has not been good. They are winless in the month of June. They have lost 5 straight. They score a whopping 3 runs in the 3-game series. Is that right? 3 runs in the 3-game series, 1 run in the 3-game series, and about 3 runs in the 5-game losing streak. Whatever it is, it's ridiculous. Same thing that has been haunting this team continues to haunt this team. It does not make a lot of sense. The front office has done, I think, Brandon, about everything it can do to help the team. Front office can still do work to take away from the team and perhaps help the team long term by trading a guy like Seth Lugo. So you have a Seth Lugo trade potentially out there. You have a potential trade and a lot of rumors floating around Jaron Duran of the Red Sox, which I do think makes a lot of sense for the Royals. But you have to think about what you'd be willing to give up to do that. You have the decision to make on whether you think the Royals in no circumstance are going to be short-term buyers, I don't think, anymore. They could hold pat, stand pat, and just ride it out, which I wouldn't think. I would not hold that against them because I still do think we've seen this team go 20-2 over a stretch. They have a heater probably or two in them at some point this season, and in this wild card race of the American League, the Royals have lost 5 games in a row and essentially have lost no ground in the wild card, Brandon. So, like, they're very much in the playoff picture still. They're very much a roster, I think, that ought to be in the playoff picture. And I do think there's some credence to just sort of holding steady, as frustrating as it's been to watch them play baseball the last 5 days, 6 days.
Yeah, you gave them a little too much credit. They scored one run against the Rays.
That's right. One run
in the three-game sweep. They lost 5-1, 3-0, and then 4-0 yesterday. And then they did put up three runs in the last two games against the Pirates series. So they've scored a total of four runs during this five-game losing streak. Again, and that's on the heels of they won the first four games of that six-game road trip to end that six-game losing skid. And so, yeah, I mean, last Friday, we were thinking, oh, the Royals are back. They won four in a row. Get ready to hang that banner. But yeah, again, it's just the same old Royals offense that we have talked about going back to last August. As soon as Vinny got hurt, this team went from being one of the best teams in all of baseball with runners in scoring position to the worst team in baseball with runners in scoring position. They've mustered up four more runs 30 times in 81 games. And so as of now, we are at the midway point of the season. This is who your team is at this point. And then some research that Vahe Gregorian, my buddy of Kansas City Star, put up together as of Thursday. They're 4-32 when trailing after six innings, 2-33 after seven, and they've only won one game in 38 when they're losing after eight games. So if the Royals fall behind by more than one run, essentially the game is over, and it's halfway into the season.
We were sounding these alarm bells even during the win streak. It's not sustainable. I cannot figure out what is ailing this offense, because now we're seeing Vinny Pasquantino hit a little bit. Salvi's found more power. Bobby Witt Jr. hasn't found his power yet, but it can't be all on that. That doesn't make a lot of sense. It's just the strangest thing that they're not able to score any runs. And I don't think it's smart to go trade for a rental bat right now. This all goes hand in hand, because when we're talking about bringing teams over, like, the Royals' success through a star bond is going to be dependent on how consistently they can be a competitive team. The Royals are a franchise historically that when they're good, they have drawn top half of the league attendance. But when they're really bad, they don't. They're near the bottom of the league. And so that's all, like, that's all in my brain as we evaluate this. I think that the new ownership group has enough benefit of the doubt for me, what they've spent in free agency the last couple of years, to be committed to winning, which is, in all fairness, more than I think you could say of the last ownership. So I think we're optimistic. So then we look at this in, like, long-term things. Long-term, as frustrating as this has been, I think the Royals are still set up pretty nicely for success. You've got Michael Wacha for a little while longer here, his new deal. You've got Cameron. You've got Bubich for another year. You've, of course, got Bobby Witt Jr., Vinny Pasquantino, and now Jack Caglione and Michael Garcia and all these. Like, I think they're still okay. It's just, what can they do now to get through it both this year and long term? That's where, and you haven't been on to talk about this, we see a rumored trade for a guy like Jarren Duran, Brandon. I would imagine, my hypothesis is, if that trade were to happen, it would be Noah Cameron and probably one or two top-end prospects for the Royals. Is that too hefty a price tag? I don't think it is. I think that I would make that deal. I think that would be a pretty good trade for them, because there's a lot of control with Duran, and he's a guy, even as he struggled this year compared to last year, he would probably be the best Royals outfielder offensively this year.
The Royals are not going to do anything nearsighted, and they've kind of made that point clear. Say it again.
You know, or they might have a month ago, yeah, but they're not going to now.
Yeah, even just the way that JJ Piccolo operates, they're going to keep everything with a long term view. So a guy like Jarren Duran, who you will control for many years, that's a guy who does make sense. I did some math while you were talking there. The Royals during their last 5-game losing streak, they are 2-22 with runners in scoring position, which just goes on of how bad they are with runner scoring position and have been all year. A guy like Jaren Duran, it'd be nice to bring him in. And, again, that's a guy who's going to be starting in your outfield for years to come. But who's to say he comes here and continues that? We were seeing a guy like Jonathan Indy was supposed to come in. You have a bona fide top-of-the-lineup guy. He's been pretty atrocious throughout the year. The guys that this regime has also brought in, Hunter Renfroe has not been good. Michael Massey has not been good. So who's to say that he's going to come over and just continue that? I'm not sure I like the idea of it, especially who knows how sustainable Noah Cameron is going to be for years just with his pitching style. I like him as a pitcher. I'm also biased because I covered him in high school. but that'd be something 100% that I would be willing to explore. Is getting they have pitching. They have pitching under control. They don't have any bats that are exciting right now. Jaren Duran would excite me.
I love the story of Noah Cameron, but I would trade Noah Cameron for Jaren Duran. Noah Cameron is, and look, it's totally possible that this is somewhat sustainable. There's no question about that. It has been for a lot of guys that aren't the top heralded prospects or anything like that. But Duran's given us enough track record now, and you just, to some of what you were just saying, you just trust the Royals' ability to evaluate pitchers at this point better. Right. Like Rick says, as we're talking about this, spending money on free agents and spending money on the right guys are different. They can't find good hitters. They can find good pitchers. I mean, are you kidding me? Seth Lugo, Michael Wacha, they evaluated Lucas Ursig. They brought in Estevez this year. Like they are showing us that they got something cooking with evaluating these pitchers. They do not with hitters. Bobby Witt Jr. is and Jack Caglione are not the same as going out and shopping around. Those were great draft picks, but they were great draft picks, right? Bobby Witt Jr. was as
they were also top 10 draft. They were top 10 draft picks.
Right. So yeah, there have been a lot of failures in trying to bring in bats for sure. So that doesn't mean you don't try. They have to keep trying. They have to. They have to go and find, and it's hard to do it. That's why guys like Duran become interesting, and this trade deadline becomes interesting because it's not a buy or sell. They could go trade for Jaren Duran and trade away Seth Lugo, and both would make a lot of sense, right? That means they would lose 40% of their starting rotation, though. Probably. Okay. Maybe the Red Sox are so willing to get rid of Duran, it doesn't cost you Noah Cameron, right? Maybe it costs you Alec Marsh and one of the catching prospects that they've got two of down on the farm. Great if you can keep Noah Cameron. Just if I'm the Red Sox, that's the name I would want. You can go trade Lugo to a contender, especially if he continues to pitch well. He becomes the top or one of the top two starting pitchers on the market, to me, that's out there. You can get a haul for that. Remember why Cole Reagans is a part of this team. Like sometimes you just got to strike because the market's right. Sometimes if you're the Royals, even if you're in the contention, you can justify trading Seth Lugo. You just can because they have to think long term. And so as we talk about stadiums coming over and as frustrating as it's been on the field for the last little while for the Royals, I do think the future is bright for the franchise. Future's bright because you have Bobby Witt Jr. We hope it's bright because of Jack Caglione. He's still going to have to learn the ropes. We've cautioned about this a billion times, that this was pretty likely for Jack Caglione, and you're going to have to just be patient with him as he learns how to be a big league hitter in the big leagues instead of in the minor leagues. All of these things are happening. They still have Vinny Pasquantino. They still have Mikel Garcia. They have a core of players to be very excited about. So I don't think any of that changes. I don't have any problem if they're aggressive to make this year's team better. I don't have any problem if they're aggressive to make the future better at the cost of this year. Everything's on the table right now for the Royals.
Yeah, it definitely is. And when you talk about making the future better, let's remember that they don't have too much in their farm system to write home about. Their best guys are up here. They have the two catchers, Blake Mitchell and Carter Jensen. But again, if you're going to make moves, one of those guys is probably going to be on the move. Other than that, they just have not drafted well enough of late. from an expert's eye, people that are much more expertise on minor league baseball than me, that they have said that. You brought up the attendance issue. They have not been great attendance when they are not good, but that's going to be different this weekend because the L.A. Dodgers are coming into town.
That's right.
And there's going to be a ton of people that are there to watch Shohei Ohtani basically make a rehab start against this Royals offense. I mean, how beneficial for Shohei Ohtani? He's had 2 one-inning starts, and instead of having to send him down to get more innings, you could say, oh, yeah, you get to pitch against the Royals offense this week. That's going to be great. Just when you think it couldn't get worse for the Royals, they have to go up against the Dodgers team this weekend that's already won 50 games. They're rolling. Shohei Ohtani hit his 28th homer last night. And there's probably going to at least one more coming this weekend in Kansas City. Tough draw for the Royals at the worst time. And Noah Cameron pitching tonight against Dustin May.
Yeah, I don't think it matters who the Royals play. I think they're good enough to beat anybody and bad enough to lose to anybody. I think it's all in the mirror for them. I don't, because we just see them lose games they shouldn't lose. Like, we just like, wait, what? And then they get, you know, they sweep the Rangers and it's like, okay. I read something yesterday and I wish I could have, I should have saved it, but it was something real analytical on how bad the Royals have been the last couple of years at hitting fastballs. The offensive woes are very strange, but I don't think they're anything that can be fixed on June 27th. They're going to have to kind of ride it out a little bit. I don't know. Like, if it's something like that, and Vinny Pasquantino last night just basically cut it off. He's like, look, we know it's bad. We know it's not good enough. All we can do is try to get better, though. There's nothing we can do about what's happened. It sucks. We see this all the time in baseball, right? Teams slump. Teams get on a bad streak. It's one of the great joys and why I think a lot of us love baseball so much is because it is such a grind and such an emotional roller coaster over the 6 months of a regular season, because most of the time your team is going to go through good and bad stretches. The Royals are in a pretty continued bad stretch here. They're 3.5 games out of the wild card. They're 3.5 games out of the wild card. They're 5 games under 500. It is okay. Like, the sky is not falling for this team to remain competitive the rest of this season. It's not at all. But the question becomes, are they equipped to get on another one of those heaters that we saw early in this year? Because probably this is a streaky team, and they're going to need those kinds of long stretches to make up for the inevitable slumps like we're seeing this week. I mean, they're inevitable at this point. So can they get enough good weeks together to win, to pile up a bunch of wins at a time when they are finally hitting well, becomes the question. And I have no idea what the answer to that question is anymore. I've stopped guessing. I thought this was going to be a good week for them. I really did. I thought this was going to be a big opportunity and they would step up to it. And obviously they could not have fallen flatter in this week. So I don't even try to guess now. I have no idea. Other than the law of averages usually plays out, they've got too many good hitters, and they'll probably heat up for stretches down the rest of this season.
Yeah, I mean, you hope so. They just were 81 games in, and then when you factor in the last 30 games of last year, and then even in the postseason, they won games in the postseason off their pitching. The offense has just not come around enough times, and I don't know how much. I don't know what can change. I really don't. I know you and TJ talked about,
that's the only thing that can change. Like, the hitters that are there will just hit better. Like, that's it.
You and TJ had talked about what good is a coaching change going to be at as a hitting coach. It's not going to change much. These are professional hitters that are getting paid tens of millions of dollars to go out and do this on a daily basis, and it hasn't come to fruition. Yeah, I mean, that's just, simply put, they just have to hit better. Vinny, as you said yesterday, he's like, we're having meetings. What do people want us not to have meetings? I mean, yeah, nobody knows.
It's baseball.
Find a way to go hit.
I mean, it's baseball. It's the weirdest sport, right? There are slumps all the time and hot streaks. It doesn't make sense. They're like changing their approach at the plate is something that can happen, but not on June 27th. What, I mean, what are you going to say? All right, team, here's the rule. Nobody can swing at the first two pitches that I'm going to bat anymore. Like, there's nothing. You can't change an approach right now. You can do that in the offseason. You can bring in people and philosophically say, guys, we're going to swing at better pitches. We're going to become a better fastball. We're going to bring in players that hit fastballs better. Like, you can do, but you can't do that right now. Right now, you just have to trust that these guys are really good at what they do. And eventually, probably collectively, they'll heat up for a period of time and they'll win a bunch of games when that happens. Will it be enough? It's going to be a tough year for it. But at the same time, there's never been a better year for it. I don't remember a year where you can be five games under 500 on June 27th and this much in the wild card chase. Brandon, Cooper Flagg's the number one overall pick in the NBA draft. Did anything else in this draft move the needle for you at all?
Well, first of all, before we go forward, I'm in for Tommy today. I remember Tommy said he was doing a family trip. He was with in-laws or something like that. He was golfing at Payne's Valley in Branson yesterday.
With his in-laws.
So, I mean, it sounds like a heck of a trip. I would love to be Tommy. If you're a golfer and you've never made a trip down to the Branson area, I mean, it's some of the best golfing in the entire country that you will find. So highly recommend that. But no, not too much else. It's a pretty under the NBA draft is always, I think, the MLB and the NHL drafts are what they are. I mean, so much of that is long plays, but the NFL does the draft so right. I mean, the NBA can't even get the hat situation figured out because of when their league year starts, and you have all these trades that are proposed trades, but they have to be figured out made official by the NBA like a week later. So the NBA draft, as much as I love the NBA, they cannot get the draft. You know, again, if Cooper Flagg could have been traded, the Mavericks could have traded their first number one overall pick to, say, the Hawks. Cooper Flagg could have been drafted, and they're still going to make him stand up on stage with the Hawks hat. It's very weird. I do like the Sixers getting a Vijay Edgecombe, a guy that we watched a lot from Baylor. I think he's going to be an absolute stud in the NBA. So that's one guy I have my eye on. But otherwise, the NBA drafts, so many guys from overseas that we don't know about. So many of these guys who are kind of role players, but they just profile to be better NBA players than they were in college. The NBA draft is always a weird one.
It just doesn't do it for me anymore. The Flag thing is as fascinating a sports story as we have, and I mean that. It is fascinating that the Mavericks, like all of that, but I just can't. It's hard. I don't know why it's so hard. There are a lot of sports where, I think the problem is we try to make everything else as awesome as the NFL draft is, and it's just never going to be.
No.
Like, it's never going to be. The NFL, I don't know how they've done it. I don't know why they've done it. It's happened. It's whatever. It's just like none of the other sports are going to be anything close to that. And I feel like it's a little unfair to the NBA draft that we do that. Like, yeah, it's not that, but because the NFL draft is amazing, but it's fine. Like, it's fine.
It's also part of the calendar. We just played the final NBA game of the season days ago. The NFL, they finish it. They finish their Super Bowl, and then we have 3 months of buildup to the draft, and then you have all these training camps. Whereas the NBA finishes. The draft is here, and then they're going to be playing Summer League in a week and a half in Vegas. So the calendar is just so much different, and it's because college basketball and the NBA aren't really synced up. It's just it's weird, and I don't know what the fix is. But yeah, the NBA draft, it doesn't do a whole lot.
There's not a fix. There doesn't have to be a fix. There's not a fix. They could do it whenever they want. I saw something yesterday, and I thought this was a really wild and crazy and fun idea. They should do the lottery 30 minutes before the draft.
That would make it awesome.
That would be wild. It would be totally unreasonable and nobody would ever agree to that because the teams want the time to prepare. But man, that would be. So could you imagine if they did that 30 minutes before the draft and then we saw the Mavericks win that lottery to get Cooper Flagg? Oh my God. I mean,
but also like, so there was a, all the stuff about Ace Bailey out of Rutgers. He just wasn't working out for a bunch of teams. You don't know who's going to be picking where. This would force prospects say, hey, this team might have the number one overall pick. You might want to go work out for him. So, yeah, the NBA draft, though, yeah, it's just so weird. The whole hat situation is just absolutely ridiculous. I think just about every single pick was traded that was like outside the top five. 19
of 31, I believe it was.
Yeah, and then even more in the second round. So you have these guys come up on stage and they're wearing a Hornets hat, but that pick was actually acquired through the Sixers by way of the Nets, and he's actually going to Memphis.
That doesn't help it either. It's hard to the trade has no appeal. Where the NFL, the trade is all that we want to talk because there aren't that many of them. Everything is traded to the NBA.
Oh, yeah, especially all these first-round picks that are being traded in 2031 to acquire a 38-year-old Kevin Durant. I mean, yeah, the trade system in the NBA is absolutely ridiculous. But, hey, here we are.
Yeah. It's in the books, the flag thing. God, I cannot believe.
He's going to be a stud. That team's going to be fun when Kyrie is back.
It is, but Nico and the ownership group doesn't deserve it. The Mavs. I'm a Mavs fan. They don't deserve it. After that stupidity, they didn't deserve it.
Doesn't matter. Adam Silver said they deserve it. So,
well, yeah, the bouncing balls said they deserved it. You conspiracy theorist?
It's fishy. The Brian Windhorst. Something's not adding up. What's going on?
Yeah, I don't know. I always think back to how Tim Duncan landed with the Spurs, and no conspiracy would have ever designated Tim Duncan to the Spurs or Victor Wembanyama to the Spurs.
You said conspiracy theories, and now Max, I've never seen him standing this. He's got something to say. I've never seen him standing so upright.
James Worthy to the Lakers on a coin flip.
Yeah. If I was sure of anything, I would be sure that Max dabbles in conspiracy theories.
He is wearing tie-dye.
It was a two-headed coin.
Yeah. I would be certain that would be the case for Max, that he would dabble.
He also said this morning that, which teams did you say, Max? The 86 Lakers, the 87 Celtics, and who else?
87 Lakers, 86 Celtics, 83 Sixers, undefeated in today's NBA.
They would go undefeated in today's NBA, and they would win every game by 40 points if you played by the rules of the 80s, because, you know, those guys in the 80s were so much more tough.
It's fun to give Max a hard time. There's a 50-50 chance that Max is a future version of me, where I've just like tapped out of modern society and I'm like, nope, I've had enough. Like that's it for me. Like I'm going to just stay right here. I already get made fun of for these things. Like, why don't you have Venmo? And I'm like, cause I have PayPal. They're the same thing. Why would I
want
it?
They're not. They're not the same thing.
They are they're literally the exact same thing. Give me one difference. What can you do on Venmo that I can't do on PayPal?
I haven't used PayPal in 20 years. So
just tell me one thing. Give me one example.
Venmo is basically like, it's also social media. I can see that my friend paid another friend for pizza. Like, that's also the society we live in nowadays, but
they don't have that on eBay, Venmo.
Yeah.
Goes direct to PayPal.
Yeah, you can't make purchases bank account online for, with for Venmo. You know, PayPal, I think, owns Venmo, by the way. They're the same thing. That's just one of many examples. Of the things where I'm like, well, why would I need that? I already have this. Like, why would I need two things? Or why would I need to go to the big, crazy, fancy place with the video games to take my kids when I go to Chuck E. Cheese? You know, like, I'm telling you, there's about a 50-50 chance that Max is a future me. And I'm stuck as Max is in the 80s. I don't know what year I'd be stuck in. I'm a bit of an old soul.
You just got a driver from this century this week, so I'd say so.
I did, but I got a used one.
but it's from this century, so we're
it
moving
is,
forward.
It is. The other one was like 2004 or 2005.
Barely the century.
From the last couple of decades, we'll call it. I took that out yesterday, by the way. And my mortal enemy, which is number 7 on Crestview's North Course, if you've played out there, you know which hole I'm talking about. You have to lay it up or drive the water. From the whites, I drove the water and birdied that damn hole yesterday. I hate that hole. That hole is the reason we have had many discussions about using a range ball on the course, by the way.
Yeah,
that is the hole for that. And, you know, so I will concede that a new driver probably will impact my game. And I can hit it a little further than the old square. Square staying in my bag, though. If I need a 220 drive, I'm using the square.
I would just like an invite out to Crestview to be able to see this driver putting the work, but I don't. Listen, I looked at my phone.
In for nine. You just, you know, you can hop in for nine anytime. But my problem is I can't always commit to nine. Sometimes it's like six or seven. It depends on who's in front of me.
You can play six, and I'm content playing the final 12 at Crestview alone. A beautiful, beautiful course.
Okay. All right. We will find a time in the next couple of weeks, because as long as I don't have meetings or obligations to the stores between radio and TV, I usually try to get out there and squeeze a few holes in. So we will find that date here pretty soon. Any housekeeping here for me? We've got our giveaways. Let's give away some HTO right now. If you want to win a free cup of iced tea, you can do that by texting the keyword tea to the short code 20357. That's the number there. It'll get you a free cup of tea, more than 25 flavors. That'll be good for either East Wichita, West Wichita, or in Derby. And you can even try that new cherry iced tea, sweet cherry. You can try them all if you go inside. But that'll be good for a text contest. I think that takes care of the business end of things today. Don't forget our Crestview giveaway. That's golf to the number 20357. Yeah, that's it. That is the housekeeping. So then, Brandon, real quick here, Royals begin that series with the Dodgers. You talked about it just briefly there on the other side of the break. The Dodgers are really good, obviously. They're going to catch Shohei, but they're going to catch Shohei for an inning or two, probably. Mm. I'd be far more concerned of him as a hitter than I would be as a pitcher right now. But, you know, if you're going to face the Dodgers, they're catching the piece of their shaky rotation that you want to catch here. Opportunities there, but they haven't hit anybody, so I don't even know that matters.
I don't know if there's any part of any rotation that the Royals would want to face right now. Maybe like the Tulsa Drillers, you'd feel more.
Bradley and Boz just went 15 scoreless innings. Those dudes had ERAs close to six this year.
Taj Bradley didn't make it out of the second inning in his last start, and he took a perfect game into the sixth against the Royals. That tells you all you need to know about this day of the Royals. But yeah, and then we're finishing up. Another big shout out to Ian Premer out of Great Bend, 4-star going to Notre Dame. He picks them over KU, K-State, Michigan, and so yeah, big time talent out of Great Bend, and we still have a whole senior year we get to watch of him. So. And then the Wichita Sports Banquet was last night. A lot of cool honorees. I don't see anything up on KWCH or catchykansas.com, but there will be stuff up on there later.
Well, Catchy Kansas has our own Catchy Awards. I've always said that's always a hard event for us. Like the Buster Posey piece of that is cool, but like the Catchy Kansas has its own high school.
Yeah, go vote for that right now. So it's voting's up.
Yeah, go vote for the Catchies if you're wanting to. I assume Ian Premer is a candidate as best football player.
Best multi-sport, but besides the point.
Yeah. Yeah, we try to. The goal is to feature as many kids as we can. Yes. Usually in multi-sport. All right. That'll do it for the week here on Sports Daily. Brandon, thanks for hopping in for Tommy. Thanks to TJ for hopping in for Tommy as well. Always fun to get you guys in here and chat this time of year. The Royals better get back in this thing. We've got another month till training camp, and we need them to ride this out. The trade deadline will be fascinating this year. See if they can get it done against the Dodgers. Give me a prediction. How many games do they win, if any, in the series?
Zero. Hopefully they score more runs than that.
I think they'll win 2-3. I was way wrong about the first part of the week. And I
put your money where your mouth is, Jacob.
I need to start doing that after that much. We'll get that done. We'll be back on Monday to recap it all, of course. Thanks, everybody, for being here. For Brandon, for Max, I'm Jacob. See you, Monday.